hooked up here. God bless you all. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. Amen. Well, thank the Lord. We'll try to get this going. Amen. Well, I just thank the Lord again, the opportunity to come in front of you this morning again and present to you guys a Sunday school lesson by His grace. And I thought, just praying, you know, what the Lord will have me present. You know, it's truly a privilege and an opportunity that I don't take for granted. So it's certainly something that I pray about, to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have me to talk about by His grace? And the Lord just kept pressing on my heart, you know, continue with this financial jubilee. So perhaps when everybody's out of debt and everybody's content, then we'll stop financial jubilee. But certainly financial jubilee, as I said, you know, if you look in the word, and our prophet said that word jubilee means we can go free. You know, when you hear that trumpet sound, we can go free by His grace. And financial jubilee, you know, it's talking about finances and money anyway, it's not I wouldn't say it's a deep subject. You know, it's a shallow subject, I would say. But it certainly have some deep impacts to our life. But one thing I was looking at earlier this week is, even in shallow water, people drown. Shallow water. And I was surprised, it's about 25% of drownings happen in shallow water. And I got to thinking about that, and I'm like, my goodness, you know, a lot of the shallow water things that impact our lives that we would say shallow, compared to the deep things, which I know in this hour we need those deep things. We know we're not going to have a rapture unless we can swim in the deep. That's for sure. But, you know, if we don't know how to swim in the shallow water, we can certainly get drowned there as well. You know, matter of fact, there's something called a shallow water blackout, and this impacts professional swimmers. They get in there and they're swimming and they're holding their breath, and they black out underwater. And of course, then their body reacts and they have to breathe, and they end up drowning. So it doesn't matter, you know, how long we've been in the message, how long we've been in the word, you know, how long we've been doing things. If we don't get these shallow water things, we can have an ineffective Christian life. And we know our prophet said, even, you know, you can get in those shallow water, all that debris, and you can get hung up in that debris. Although we have a power, but if we don't know how to operate in that shallow water, then we can get hung up and die and have an ineffective life. And that's certainly not the purpose. Brothers, you want to go to the next slide? And I was just reading this quote. My kids and I, we were playing the game of life. I don't know if you all have played that game a couple weeks ago. And, you know, we hadn't played in a while, so I was going through the instructions, trying to remind them, okay, once you start, you could choose to go to college, or you could choose to start your career right away in the game. And then you go on, and then, you know, you get married, and you pick up a spouse along the way, and it's a little car. You put the spouse in the car, and of course, my girls, they were like, no, put the man in the back. He's going in the back. So y'all pray for them. So, you know, and then the babies come along and you start putting a little peg. They're like, no, we don't want any babies. So, yeah, y'all just keep them in prayer. But as we got to talking, you know, I was telling them, I said, you know, yeah, this is exactly like the word of God. You know, if we don't know the rules, then we won't be effective in this life. And as I was just looking through the quotes, this is actually yesterday, and this quote, Brother Brim says, and that's the way it is with human life. You can't play the rules of the game of life wrong and expect to win. You've got to play it according to God's word and the purpose that you were brought here for. Now, there are so many people that doesn't seem to have any kind of purpose in life, especially in this day that we now live. People just seem to think that all they have to do is keep up with someone else, with the fashions of this world, and with the enticements of this world has given to them. And that's exactly right, you know. And all of us in this day and time, it is such a a wicked day and time, such a enticing day and time. I mean, my goodness, it's like the world is going mad. You know, if you look at the internet, social media, I mean, it's so much influence. My goodness, you can't run through your Facebook feeds without seeing this person is doing this to their house, this person is getting this car, this person is doing that, this person is enjoying their meal. I mean, you can't even sit down and enjoy your meal without thinking, I need to take a picture of it before we eat. Right. Don't eat, honey, you wait. Let's show them that we having shrimp and we're going to have this. And that's all you see. You know, and it's just all enticing, and then we're trying to, you know, outdo the other one and outdo the other one. So it's very difficult to have contentment. You know, and not just in the area of money, but churches as well. I mean, you can find any church, any minister that suits just how you want. So if they move to the left, you like that. If they move backwards, if they do the moonwalk, I mean, whatever you want, you can find it. If you want it really deep, you can find it really deep. If you want it really quiet, you can find it really quiet. Whatever you want, you can find it. All right now. We can pull it up right now and find many, many different services. So all of that is in our minds and is causing us to lose contentment. And contentment just means satisfied with where you are right now today. That's what it means. That's what contentment is all about. And it's very, very important. And in all areas, you got that within marriage, money, anxiety, you got mental battles, all of those things are those shallow water things that we get hung up in. And we need God and His grace to get us out of those things. Go to the next. And certainly, you know, those things are right in line. Although we have this word and this quote just says a lot, just keep walking in the light. It'll separate the thing that was hindering you from one side to the other. That's the trouble with the church today. You're so loaded down, you can't walk light. Got too many things on you. Too much hanging around. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight that we may walk light. Every weight and the sin that so easily beset us that we may run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to the author and the finisher, Christ. Walk in the light, light-footed. You know, I really love that quote, you know, because that's when I look at Financial Jubilee and contentment, that's really what it's saying, trying to get us to where we can walk light. And these principles of money, they apply to all areas of your life. Even this word that we have, it applies to the word. And I've experienced that. You know, the same principles that I use to get out of debt, to learn this contentment, it's the same principles that I see in walking this journey, walking this path. And again, contentment, it means satisfaction with one's possession, status, and situation. As I mentioned, it's the hardest age. And the last thing we need in this age is discontentment. And that's exactly what we're suffering with. Go to the next. So in the area of money, as you hear this again, you know, this is just a parallel to apply to every area of your life. But the wonderful thing about money, what I like about it, is all of us can relate. As I said before, all of us can relate to it. You're working for it. You're getting up in the morning for it. You're talking about it. You're wondering how much your spouse is spending. All of that. We deal with it every day, so we can all relate to it. And I believe God knew that. And that's why He said so many things in His word about money. But this quote, this message and this scripture, I think just brings it back. It says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worthy wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And we know our Lord said that. And I believe that is the area of money that He's trying to get to us. Like, this is just worldly wealth, something we would think is shallow. But He said, if you can't handle that, who? And He's really talking about Himself, that I won't trust you with these true riches. And we know that statue of a perfect man, those are the promises. Those are the true things that we're after by His grace. But He said, I won't trust you with those things if you can't handle this light thing. And I always think of, you know, hearing Brother Dale and, you know, talked about, you know, back in the early days when he said, hey, you know, a lot of the message people, they weren't going to make the rapture. You know, and that was a shock hearing that, you know, because I hadn't heard that before. Like, wow. You mean back then someone was saying that? A lot of people not going to make it. Not that they're not born again. Not that they're not saved. You see? But they won't make what's promised in this age, that rapture. Why? Because they're just doing the same things that has always been done. And I believe it's the same thing. If we don't know how to handle money, we're going to live our lives. We're going to take out loans. We're going to borrow money. We're going to try to pay it back. And we hope when we end, perhaps it balances out. Or, hey, your kids will deal with it when you're gone. That's kind of how we approach it. Like, hey, let's just see what happens. Let's just go around and play. But God and his Bible have these principles already laid out. So isn't it amazing if we could apply these principles, then that gives us the opportunity to see what God can do in this small area. Just to give him an opportunity to see what he can do in this area that we can then say, wow, Lord, if you can do this with something so small, what can you do with these things that you're promised to me? Lord God, that's what I want to see. I want to have that opportunity to experience that in my lifetime, which by his grace, I have seen some of that. I've seen him work in miracles through the principles that I have applied through this financial jubilee. Again, you know, we will never be effective with money, or again, to see that opportunity to see what God will do in this small area. Same principles I said apply in the statue of a perfect man. That's what I hear. When I hear the word, I can apply it the same way. So again, we don't want to miss out on this small opportunity to see what God will do and then apply it to those true riches. Because I believe by that we're going to, and this is the promise of this hour, we're going to experience something that has never been experienced in any age before. Any age. But the same thing within your family, you can experience something that the world hasn't experienced. Just in this small area of finances. And I believe God can do that. So we're going to just run through the principles once again that I brought out before. And it's 8 principles. The last principle is contentment. And we're just going to focus on that a little bit more in this Sunday school lesson. But principle number 1, remember, God's own it all. He owns it all. The 10% tithes are his and the 90%. It's all his. We pay the 10% and he allows us to use the 90%, but it's all his. So we should be praying when we have that 90%. Lord, what would you have me do? Now, it's not a stressful thing. It's not a worrying thing. We go, we know we need to buy food. We know we need to plan. We know we need to do all those things, but it's his. So you said, Lord, if it's okay with you, Lord, I'm going to do this. It's Lord, if it's your will, let me do this. The 90%, but we don't squander, we don't waste. We think about what we're doing because it's all his. 2, manage his resources diligently. Get organized. We have to. Diligence is key. You know, and that's one thing about, I think, teaching and a teaching ministry. You can see it takes diligence. I mean, it's lesson after lesson trying to get it into us. But those lessons, that should be applied to our life daily. You see, so we see, you know, Brother Wade is on lesson 59. You know, we're on financial jubilee number 4. But that's just us presenting. That's just me talking about it. But you got to go in your daily life and now apply it. You see what I'm saying? So if I've been living, I'm 44 years old, then by God's grace, you know, I should be diligently applying that year after year, word after word, every day, diligently, being organized, thinking about what I'm doing. And if I can't be organized and diligent, then maybe I need to slow down. Slow down just a little bit. You know, that's one thing I've enjoyed about the word here is just slowing down, taking your time, making sure we're getting it, making sure there is no room, no excuses, just presenting it, slowing it down. And that's what happens. When we're not slow, we can't be organized. You got receipts flying over here. This happened over there. This, you know, I'm borrowing money from here, trying to do that. You know, and that's what I used to do. You know, when I started out of college, man, I thought I was a wise, smart dude. I'm telling you, I could borrow from this person to borrow that person to pay back that and try to make a little interest in between. That's what I was doing. I guess this is only 2%. I'm going to pick this card. I'm going to do that card. Did that for years and didn't have a dime. Right. Money was moving, but I had nothing. Right. But when I started slowing down, I said, you know what? I've been working for 10 years. And I have, like, nothing. Like, I don't have anything. And his word says, you know, there's oil in the house of the wise, you know? And I'm like, I don't have any oil. So something is just not right. Why is everything I have coming in going out? And I started slowing down, getting organized, thinking about what I'm spending my money on. Little things. You know, before you know it, you're spending $500 and $600 out to eat a month, $800, $1,000, or you just don't know. Yeah. So that could be one little small idea. You know what? Let me just watch what I spend out on eating out. You might shock your own self and realize, oh, that's why I don't have an emergency fund. I ate it. You gotta take your time. Money is your time. You purchase stuff with your time. Again, you're working, your husband, your spouse, working, you're putting in your time. Then if you waste that, you're wasting that time that you have. My, my, my. Patience, learning to wait. Oh, this patience is so important. And I believe that's why the scripture says run with patience. Run. We got to be in action, but it's a patient run. Learning to wait. This is one of the keys. And of course, if we wait on God, that gives him the opportunity by his grace. Next slide. Number five, avoid debt like the curse. That's it. The blessings of the Lord and make it rich, and he added no sorrow to it. Certainly, the devil will make a way. Whatever you want, he will make a way. And he can find a way to help you in your needs, believe me. But that's all his tactics to get you trapped up into the weeds. Trapped up, bound down, can't be free with the Lord. That's what he wants to do. Save. Winter is coming. Save a little. Very, very important. Take some of your money and save some of it. There's nothing at all wrong with that. You have to do that. That's why he said, watch that ant. Winter is coming. You know, those ants, they store up food. I was the other day just cleaning up outside and moving some rocks, and I moved some rocks and a whole bunch of ants. And they had these white things. They started moving around. First, they were like relaxed, but I disturbed their habitat, and they started moving. So I just sat there, and I thought about the scripture. I said, you know what? Let me just watch and see what they did. Man, they didn't stop working at all. They started moving those eggs, started putting them in holes, and just working nonstop. No distraction. I didn't see any one of them taking a selfie picture. I didn't see any of that going on. They weren't comparing each other. They were moving.
Right.
And before long, all those eggs, I mean, it's probably like 50 to 75, every egg was moved. Man, I was like, wow, that is quite amazing. So I went up, just looked up those eggs. It's like, yeah, those are, they're the larvas. And they have to protect those young ones. So they're moving around and making sure. And it's like, you know what? They're thinking about that next generation. You know, they're thinking about it. If their whole colony gets wiped out, they have put those babies in a safe place. You know, and I believe, wow, God thought of that. He thought of that. He wanted to make sure that he left us that word. And I believe that's why it's the voice that we have in this day. He left that to make sure from generation to generation. And here we are. We have that same word. He stored that thing. He protected it because he knew we would need it. Amen. But all that just around the ant, you know, and that's how we need to think. You know, we got kids, we got young ones, we got family members. We have to think. We're going to get older, all of us. I'm getting older. We're all getting older. You know, my dad was like the hardest working person I knew, period. He could outwork anybody. But he's 84 years old now, so he knows. Like, hey, I can't do exactly the same things I used to do. You know, and he didn't have that wisdom at that time. You know what? Let me put away something. Because I will be older. And here we are. He's now older. You know, and I'm looking at that like, wow, that is something else. But here this word of God has always told us that, hey, put a little bit away. Store something up. Don't spend all that we have. And the best investment, of course, is giving to the kingdom of God. It's more blessed to give than to receive by his grace. And the amen, being in a position where we can do that freely. Freely by his grace. And then contentment. Oh, that's it. Contentment, it's learned. It's something you have to apply every day. And by managing your resources diligently, thinking about financial jubilee, you can start learning. Oh, man, when we started paying off that debt, my family and I met, it was certainly a milestone in our marriage, in our home, because contentment came in. Oh, man, just to eat out. You know, we had to be, you're talking about diligent. I think we had like, you know, $20 a month to eat out, but I'll tell you, those burgers never taste better. I'm telling you, when you did get to go to McDonald's, every fry was like, woo, my goodness. And I love that, you know, I love that, but you eat out every day, I'm telling you, like, I'm tired of Domino's pizza, you know, I'm tired of, you know, Applebee's, oh no, I can't eat it. That's exactly what's happening. And that's in every area of our life, you know, I'm tired, oh, the church is so slow, it's just dragging on. Oh, and then over there at the other church, it's like, oh, they're so loud, I can't hear anything, you know. Oh, I wish they would slow down. That's exactly what the devil wants, to get us into a place where we're just discontent. We haven't learned. We haven't sat still long enough to learn contentment and apply it in our lives. Help us, Lord. Go to the next slide. So again, contentment is learned. Paul learned. God will teach you if you apply his principles. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. Amen. Whatever state. He said, I learned that. And we're going to find out how he actually learned that. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we're getting a little hint in what Paul is saying that helped him reach that contentment. He said, because God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Go to the next. Amen. So we can go to the next slide, brothers. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, be therewith content. Amen. Godliness. Now notice how he says that godliness. So he's saying, hey, we can be godly and we could not have contentment. Because he's saying godliness with contentment is great gain. So with God, he's trying to give us these great things. You know, that's he's trying to beat us down with his blessings if we can apply his word. Godliness with contentment. So by his grace, that's what we're trying to share. How do I get this great gain in my life? Of course, right after that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Telling us, hey, God is in control. That's it. God is in control. That's pointing out some of that curita that we have to seek God. We have to wait on God. We got to be able to put him first. My. You know, I was hearing a story about a single married couple, right? You know, they went into a restaurant and, you know, you see a single couple and a single person, and they had their book and they had, you know, a little latte, and they were so relaxed and feeling so good. They're just going to enjoy themselves with their latte and whipped cream on top and all of that. Until a married couple walked in, they were holding hands, just looking at each other and, you know, sipping each other's latte. And that single person started, said, oh, Lord, you see, I'm just so, Lord, that's what I'm missing in my life. I just don't have somebody who I can sip latte with. And, oh, Lord, it's just so miserable, Lord. I'm just so down and out, not knowing that the married couple is looking at them like, oh, man, if I could just get a day by myself. Oh, my goodness. And read my book. That's what it's doing. And the devil just played a field day on all of us through all of that. And that's what it is. If we could just get into our own position with God, right where you are, right where he has placed you, and start pulling for what you need and realizing what you have. Amen. So it's so valuable to guard our commitment. Amen. That's it. We crave what we don't have, overlooking the blessings that we already have. And that's it. We got to pause. We got to slow down by his grace. Now, as we're kind of nearing, time is running out. But I'm just going to kind of leave you with this piece of it. See, contentment, and I want to make sure, I think this is a very, very important point. Go to the next slide. Go to the next. See, it's really important because now contentment is different from being indifferent. Indifferent means like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. What kind of car I have, doesn't matter. You know, my car is not running, it's breaking down, I'm still okay. You know, I'm just satisfied. No. That's different. You know, Brother Brenham, he likened that to a bum, that bum that came to his house, and he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm nowhere." He said, "Where you been?" "Well, I've just been wandering around. Wherever my hat lays, that's where I've been." He said, "How long you been doing that?" "Well, about 20 years. He said, "Man, no, that's no ambition." He said, "Our ambition just should be set to higher things." That's what it is. And God says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So it's not taking away your desire, you see, but it's calling God in the scene of that desire, bringing him in, being content. That's what it means. Not caring, but having a desire. So let's say something, for example, in the church, something in your life, something in your marriage, something in your finances that is not working out the way you think it should work out. Okay. Now to say, "Well, it doesn't matter to me." That's no. It said, "Lord, no, it does matter to me, Father, but I know to apply it, to wait on you, to give you that opportunity, Lord, to move." And that's where it's running with patience. You see, it didn't say you sleeping with patience. It didn't say you sitting with patience. It says running with patience. So it's having our mindset on, "Lord, you have promises for me. Lord, you have promises in the word for me, Father, and that's what I want by your grace." Let's go to, skip to slide 12 for me, brothers. And we'll finish up with this scripture. I think this just kind of answers it all. How to learn contentment. Starts off, be careful, which is anxious for nothing. Well, but of some things. What about my marriage? What about my church? What about my car? No, for nothing. What about my job? What about the pastor? What about the answers that I need in my life? Should I be anxious about? No, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He even has that before prayer. Get your anxiousness out. Put that to the side. Because you approach God and you're anxious, you're just telling God what you want. You're not ready to listen. You're not ready to be patient. You're just telling God, "This is what I gotta have this." It's like, "Well, Lord, like, well, you're telling me, you know?" No. Get that anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. Slow down. But in everything now, by prayer and supplication, amen, with thanksgiving. Now you're seeing some of the tools. Prayer, bring God into the situation. With supplication, that's humbleness, a humble request. With thanksgiving, "Lord God, let me think about what I'm thankful for in my life." Oh my, if you can just think of those testimonies and things in your life where you just took enough time to thank God for his blessings in your life. Bring him in through prayer, through supplication, with thanksgiving, then let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. That peace of God to keep your mind, amen, passes all understanding. So it's bringing you back. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding as you wait on the Lord in this small thing of financial jubilee. If you're asking the Lord for something in regards to money and finances, you're saving for something, don't lean on your own understanding. Give him an opportunity to move. Long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, doing the best you know how, you can ask, you can pray, you can get rid of the anxiety, and then wait on God. Again, that's just a small area of money, but think about everything with the Lord, even this word, as we pray, and that, "Lord God, reveal more to me." You are part of that ingredient. And you know what? And you know, I worked at KFC years ago, and we had to marinate that chicken. You know, it just didn't turn out right if you just took it out and threw it in. We had to actually marinate and put it in the freezer. So some things take time. They take time, and God is waiting on us to get just right when we're ready. And that's that marination. That's that waiting on the Lord, letting his peace come into our heart. As we wait on him, we're still taking our request to him. We care about the things that God put on our hearts to care about, and we're waiting on the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So that's a little bit on contentment. Of course, this is so much more. The musicians can get ready to come up. Certainly, God bless you all. You know, apply these things to our life as we walk this journey, as we walk through this word. Again, this is just a small thing that we can take every day to apply it, to get that same discipline that we need to get into that deep water. The same discipline in this shallow water, we can take it into the deep areas. Amen. And be ready for what God has for us in this hour. God bless you all. Amen. Come on up, musicians.